He's a little boy. And, you know, he's not known for his speaking, but God's trying to do something new. And actually, he said, prophesy what God's promised. That's one of my points in my message this morning. You know? Or it was. But what he said is so true. I go overboard trying to get people out of religion and over into relationship. Because religion will get you to hell and relationship will get you to heaven. You know, religion will keep you bound down on earth and relationship will lift you up. It's just everything that we do, the way that I dress, the way that I talk, the way that I comb my hair. I mean, from everything that I do, I want to be non-religious. I want to be a relational person. I want to be in relationship with Jesus. I want to connect people to God and God to people. That's what this, you know, you don't hear the words here in this church. You don't hear the words in charge. You hear I'm responsible for. Because that's what relationship does. When you say I'm in charge, it means I'm over you. When you say I'm responsible for it, it means I'm under you and I'm here to serve you. That's what I'm here to do. You know, and so I want to, this is going to bring out, if you've got any religion left in you, this is going to take it out or it's going to make you mad. I do not like the word fellowship. Name one other thing that we talk about fellowship outside of churches. Let's fellowship with each other. Let's go out to the baseball field and let's just fellowship. No, let's go out there and play ball. Let's say hang out. I want to hang out with, it's the same thing. I want to hang out with people that love Jesus. That's what fellowship really is trying to say, but we made it into a religious term. I don't even know if I'm ever going to get to my message today. But I got to thinking, man, start crying. And if I were to walk in this church for the first time in my life, and if I were to listen to announcements, and I were to hear about what the food pantry had done and about the churches that we're building in Mozambique and Mexico and different parts of the world. That's what we do. It's part of what we do. And hear about how we feed over 600 families every single month. And in November, we feed them, we give them a regular food distribution, plus we give them a Thanksgiving dinner. And then the very next month, we come back and we feed them their regular distribution and we feed them Christmas dinner. And then we have Simply Serve that comes out here and cooks red beans and rice for over 350 people on a Saturday. And I would say, my gosh, there's not enough people in that church to do that. They must be getting help from the other churches. There's no way that they bring in enough money to do that. Have you ever thought about that? When they're putting in a new food pantry somewhere in North Louisiana, you know where they do? They send them to Jessica, and Jessica shows them ours, and they say, that's what you need to do. That's the blueprint you use. Do it like she does it, and you'll do it right. It won't fail. Why is it that God chooses to do miraculous things through people that believe in a relationship with Him? I mean, if we had the money that blank church, blank church, blank church, and blank church had, how much more could we do? We don't have the money to do what we're doing, but we've got overflowing. It's crazy. Greg will tell you, at least once a month, somebody from outside the church, not the same person always, But somebody from outside the church will come up and give me $10,000 and say, here, put this in the church. Y'all are doing a great job. They're not doing that out of a religious obligation to anybody. They're doing it because out of a relationship, knowing that you people will do something good with that money. Amen. That's relationship and not religion. I hadn't even started preaching yet. I might as well just shut up and get on my notes and go to, let's just go to the easiest thing we can do. Go to Genesis.
Put your title up.
Put your title up first. What's the title of today's message? Look now. Ginger made me make her make that. She said, what's the title of your message? I said, I don't know. She said, well, what would you think it'd be? I said, probably look now. She said, all right, well, what you need to do is you need to put that on. And I said, I don't know how to do that. She said, well, I do. Why didn't you just ask the title and do it yourself anyway instead of going through all this? She said, and then if you go to Paul Gray International Ministries, if you go to Paul Gray International Ministries, we're going to put a link up there, and they can click on it, they can get this message. And if they go to the Christian Church at Menden's website, they can click on the link and go to this message. I said, I don't know how to do it. She said, well, I do.
But now they can see it.
Now, you know, Ginger, man, I'm never going to get this preached. You know, Ginger retired and went to work. She works more now than she's ever worked. And I went to my oldest and dearest friend. His wife retired a few years ago. And I went to him and I said, man, how long is this going to last? He said, what are you talking about? I said, Ginger retired. He said, oh, God, man. He said, it never ends. He said, they always got something for you to do. And they always want you to do this and want you to do that. And he said, I just don't listen.
Take that advice. Look now.
But she's, you know, and that's the way she does things. You know what? You need to take a minute, your message, and put it on. So here it is. I did that. No, I didn't. Ginger told me to do it, and then I told her I didn't know how, so she did it anyway, herself. Look now. Genesis 13th chapter, the 14th verse. Before I get into this, let me tell you about what's going on here. This is Abram and Sarai. Before Abraham was the holder of the covenant, of the covenant, and his name was changed to Abraham. His name was Abram. His wife's name was Sarah. And so, at this point, we know what happens when Abram's 100 years old, right? Sarah, at 90 years old, has a baby. My gosh, can you imagine 100 years old just going through the process of trying to make a baby at 100 years old? You know, that in itself is a miraculous event. I just can't, 100 year old, I just can't imagine it. But anyway, at this point, Abram's 75, Sarai is about 65, okay? So, Abram, 75. Sarai, 65. Number of children produced from this marriage, 0. And God is going to speak to him. And the Lord said to Abraham, after Lot had separated from him. Wait a minute, before we go any further, and I'm not going to preach this, but there's some people that need to be separated from you before God speaks to you personally. If that's you, don't raise your hand. Just get them out of your life. I could preach that too. I'm just in a preaching mood. After Lot had separated from him, because Lot had things in his life that were not on the same level as Abram, so they were unequally yoked, so that God didn't speak to Abram till he got rid of that. He says, lift up your eyes now. In other words, there was something holding God back from speaking to Abram, and now that he'd separated himself from what he needed to be separated from, God said, lift up your eyes now.
That's good, boy.
Now. And look from the place where you are. Look north, look south, look east, and look west. For all the land which you see, it's important that you see what God wants you to see. It's called vision. For all the land which you see, I give to you and your descendants forever. It never ends. Zero children. And I will make your descendants as the dust of the earth, so that if a man could number the dust of the earth, then your descendants could be numbered. Arise, walk in the land through its length and its width, for I give it to who? I give it to you, Abram. Then Abram moved his tent and went and dwelt by the terebinth trees of the Mamre, which are in Hebron, and built an altar there to the Lord. We're not going to go back and talk about Lot. We're going to move forward, because that's what this message is about moving forward. It's not about moving back. Lot's not mentioned again by Abraham in the Bible after this. After his rescue, I should say. He was done. He was done. God gives him ownership. He gives him an ownership vision. He said, it's mine. I can give it to whoever I want to, and I'm giving it to you, Abram. As far as you can see in any direction, and if you walk as far as you can see and you keep looking, that's yours too. It doesn't matter how much, I'm giving it to you. He gave him an ownership vision. He gave him a real estate vision. He made him the richest man on the planet. Let's just pretend, okay? Y'all know where Pike's Peak in Colorado is. It's a tall peak. If you could be on top of that peak and God said, everything that you can see in any direction, it's yours, you'd be an instant trillionaire. The city of Denver would have to pay you rent every month. Colorado Springs would be paying you. Rocky Mountain National Park would have to pay you rent because they're on your land. You got to understand, in this land, as far as he could see, there were kingdoms, there were kings, there was different tribes. All of them had wealth, and God just gave it all to Abram. Said, it's yours now. They don't deserve it. They're in religion. They're not in relationship. I'm here talking to you because I like you. You like me, you speak to me, you give me honor. Yeah, these people are empty. It's yours, Abram. It's yours. Everything I give you, you're a trillionaire, Abram. And I'm going to give to your, I'm going to make your descendants as many as the dust. If a man could count all the granules of dust in the earth, then he may be able to count all your descendants. Abram never said anything about not having a child. He just took the vision and he went with it. He just took the vision and he went with it. All right, this one, me and Greg talked about this the other day, and we debated whether I was going to say it, so I'm going to kind of move around it. If I got to talk to Greg about something being, it's probably not a good thing to say. If you're a human being, raise your hand. Most of you are humans. Okay, I get it. So, everything that God does begins with vision. If you can't see it, you cannot be it. That's why the Holy Spirit comes with conviction, so you can see that you're lost. Then you become saved. The Holy Spirit conviction and wants you to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You see what the Holy Spirit can change everything. The baptism of the Holy Spirit. So you become that. You have a lot of people that sometimes come down for prayer and people say, well, you know, they didn't get it. That's because they didn't see the Holy Spirit. They didn't see the benefits. They didn't see the relational part of the baptism of the Holy Spirit because it makes you closer with God. When you're baptized, you're overflowing with that Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, your relationship is closer. It is better. I don't care what anybody says. If somebody tells you different, you know what it tells me? They've never experienced it. I've never known one person that got filled with the baptism of the Holy Spirit said, well, I wish I wouldn't have done that. Not one. Not a single one. Even those that have gone, moved away from God, you can ask them, I wish I could get back there. You can. No, I can't. And they stay with God. But even those people will tell you it was one of the most life-changing moments in their life. So you have to see something to be it. That's why vision, everything that God does begins with a vision. He gave something to Abram at 75 years old that wouldn't even start until he was 100. But it was still his. He held on to the vision. Too many people will let go of their vision because it becomes too hard. I didn't say that. Anyway, we're human beings. This is a great revelation for some of you that may not have heard this before. Okay? Every human being, their eyes are on the front of their head. They're not in the back of their head. Unless something spidey-like happens and they just go, you know, crazy. But their eyes are on the front of their head. Their feet are made to walk forward, not backwards. Their arms are meant to reach forward, not back. It's harder to reach back than it is to reach forward. You are designed by God to be forward moving and forward thinking. By God's design, you are meant to move forward. The armor of God, which Greg did for a couple of weeks, a while back. Okay, I'm bad with time, but it's everything in the armor of God protects your front. There's nothing to protect your backside. In other words, you're meant to move forward in the fight, the good fight. There's no protection for retreat. When you turn, there's nothing back there to protect you. Everything is in the front. You're made by God to move forward. His armor is put on you to protect you when you're moving forward. There's nothing to protect retreat. Because when God gives you a vision, you're supposed to move forward to it, not away from it. You see a lot of people that are man on fire for God, doing something. God gives them a vision, and they can't. They just don't feel like they can obtain it, and so they move away from God. And man, those fiery darts of the wicked keep coming and coming and coming, and they go down, 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 down. When all they got to do is get back up and step towards the things of God instead of away. It's amazing to me. It's amazing to me the way that God has designed everything. 14 says, lift up your eyes now. In other words, look now. Lift up your eyes now. Don't look down. You look up. You look. Lift up your eyes and see. Now. If Joel was in here, he could finish this statement for me because he's heard it so many times out of my mouth. Serena probably, Jordan again, I'm sure. You know, I would always begin. When we're doing the ABCs of faith, I would go through this. So Hebrews 11, 1 says, now faith is the substance of evidence of things not seen. If it's not now, it's not faith. Everything that God operates, everybody thinks it's in the past or it's in the future. It's not. It is a now thing. God doesn't operate in time like we do, so it's always now. Now faith is. Lift up your eyes now. I'm going to give you the vision now. The vision is now. We've got to get things done now. Lift up your eyes. There's believers that are always looking back to their glory days. And that's where they try to live. Man, I remember we were playing in the state semifinal. I hit 3 home runs. Man, I was Miss Mendenhauer, what is it? MHS Darling. And I was a cheerleader, and I was this, and I was that. And they look back at what they were, and they never become what they're supposed to be. They look at those glory, you know, I mean, it's like going to a class reunion. You know, and then people get bitter because they see somebody with a lesser education, with less drive, doing better than them, and then they resent them, and they can't move forward because of resentment, because they're not comparing their life to the life that God has for them. They're comparing their life to what somebody else has, and they can't get anywhere in life because they're always looking at what somebody else is doing and looking around, looking back in the game. And then you've got people that look back at a tragedy in their life and they never move past it. A death, a heartbreak, a disease that they'd gotten through, whatever. You know, since my divorce, since that, they never move past it because they keep looking back to it. It keeps drawing them back and back and back. We've got to move forward. Bad things happen, but life moves forward. And we can't get stuck back here when we're supposed to be leading the charge as Christians, as believers. We're the ones supposed to be leading the charge. And if we, as believers, have people who are believers that are looking back, they're never part of what God's doing. But behold, I do a new thing over and over and over and over in the Bible. Behold, they're doing the same thing over and over and over and over and over. Are you following what I'm trying to say? All right, I guess I can start preaching then. They're stuck for a lack of vision. The prerequisite of leadership is vision. If you don't have vision, you're not going anywhere. If you don't know where you're going, where are you going? Where are you going? I don't know. I'm just going to drive around. It's like being a NASCAR driver. Go fast, take a left. 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 No destination. Going in circles. Where are you going? I don't know, but I'm just going to go somewhere. But if you got vision, you know where you're going. You can tell them where you're going. The problem is when you tell them what God told you, they think you're crazy. Do you think that Abram went around and said, hey, as far as you can see, I own it. God gave it to me. And my descendants. Yeah, you and those 0 kids you got. But he didn't let go of the vision of God. Jesus said, if the blind lead the blind, they will both fall in a ditch. So somebody's got to, at least one has to have some vision to get the other one to go somewhere. You've got to have vision in your life. You've got to have it. And part of my job is to help cast that vision and help you get to where God wants you to be. All right, I'm gonna say something. I don't normally talk like this, but I'm gonna say it. I don't get scared. It's good. Don't get scared. It's good. You can learn to lead here. There's a lot of churches in this town where you can't learn to lead. They don't want you to lead. But you can learn to lead here. One day, some of you are going to look back and say, one of the best things that ever happened to me is when I moved my family to CCAM. My children learned power. They learned how to be powerful people. They learned how to use the power of God in their lives. My children make good decisions. I did better in my career because I learned vision and I learned leadership. I learned how to be a disciple. I learned because I went there. I didn't learn how to sit on a pew in the same place every Sunday after Sunday after Sunday and have the same sermon over and over and over. I went and I moved my family to a place where they could be empowered and learn how to cast vision, how to speak vision, and how to be visionaries. My children will succeed because I made the decision to come to this Christian church in Minden.
Amen.
I don't go down that road that often, but I'm telling you it's true. If I didn't believe that, I wouldn't be here. I'm just saying. Your family's going to be stronger. Your children are going to be better. It's just... All right, move to the next scripture, Genesis 15. Whew. The very first verse. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a what? A vision. Saying, do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your exceeding great reward. Verse 2. But Abram said, Lord God. This is years later now. What will you give me seeing I go childless? He didn't say seeing Sarah goes childless. He didn't say, God, you made me childless. He said, seeing I go childless, and the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus. But in verse 3, then Abram said, look. He's talking to God. He says, look. You've given me no offspring. Indeed, one born in my house is my heir. 4, and behold, the word of the Lord came to him saying, this one shall not be your heir, but the one who will come from your own body will be your heir. Okay. Then he brought him outside. This is important. This is important. This is important. Then he brought him outside and said, look now toward heaven. Heaven and count the stars if you are able to number them. And he said to him, so shall your descendants be. See, he took him, he was inside of his tent, and God came to him in a vision in his tent in this vision, and God said, come out. Get out of this tent that's got this ceiling that you can't see any higher than. Come out and look now. Towards heaven. God came to him in a vision and reminded him and made it even more clear. God was showing him the vision is still the vision. You may not have a child, but you're going to have one, and your descendants will be as many as the stars in the sky. If you are a believer, raise your hand. If you're a Christian, raise your hand. You are a descendant of Abraham. That's nuts to me. But back in the very first chapter of the Bible, God reminded him of the vision. Sometimes we need to get out of our own house so we can see what our vision really is, because that ceiling has got you stuck in what you can see. I'm not talking about an actual ceiling. I'm talking about some mental ceiling, some mental block that you have that you can't get to the vision that God has for you because you can't see above where you are. You can't see where you're going. That's that. And now I can start preaching with 7 or 8 minutes left. Do you know what? I've got to explain this. Now, Abram didn't come and say, "God, I want you to bring your promise down a little bit to where I can understand it." That's not what he did. You know, the vision is here, and you are here. There is a deficit of this much. When you are a visionary, when God gives you a vision and you're striving for it, you're always going to be at a deficit. You're always going to be at a deficit. The biggest hindrance of visionaries is being discouraged because of the deficit. You're going to have to live with some discouragement, but it should push you to be more. I've got a lot of stuff in here, and I'm not going to be able to get to it. So I'm going to give you the fun size version. You know, little Snicker fun size bars, you know. When we started this church, we were in a little bitty garage in August with no air conditioning, 10 building with about a dozen people. And I said, "We're going to be a world outreach center." And nobody said anything. Nobody said amen. We're in a garage on Germantown Road. There was no way that we could get. We were at an extreme deficit from where God showed me we would go. And I'm like, there ain't no way. In my physical, there is no way. There's no way that we can do what we're doing now. We're still at a deficit. If you think we've arrived, you're wrong. We're wrong. And you know, crazy people like me, they when I first got saved, man, the next day I was telling people, I said, "I'm going to travel the world. I'm going to preach to hundreds of thousands of people." Nobody believed me but me. I don't even think she believed it some of the time, because I was acting crazy. You know, but God had given her that vision before I ever married her. And she was holding fast to it for so many years. Finally, you know, she's trying to think to the point where, "God, you need to drop that down a little bit." And, I mean, because he's at a huge deficit. He's not even saved, you know. But when I went out and I started doing that, things changed. People got away from me. They didn't want to be around me. People that could call themselves my friend were no longer around me. They didn't want to be around. Still don't. And that's okay. You know, they were Lot's anyway. Go back to the first thing I said. They were Lot's anyway. When you get a hold of the vision of God, you don't care who your friends are or who they are not. There's something burning in you to reach that vision, to fulfill the call of God on your life, to fulfill the call of your family, to reach that vision. Even in business today. You know what? Business is so much more successful than the church. They are, aren't they? It's because they understand leadership. They take weeks and take their executives out to build leadership. The church don't do that. They just say, all right, if you don't get divorced and you stay sitting here and you tithe for the next 25 years, we're going to make you a leader. Am I lying or not? A lot of them that way. Not all of them, but a lot of them. That's not the way it is here. It's about relationship and what you're doing. We are a do-something church, but we're more than just that. That's a part of who we are. You can't come here and not do anything, or you'll feel bad about yourself and you'll leave. How many people have we said, man, I just love that church. Y'all are always doing something. And I'm hey, we need you to do this. We need you to do that. We need you to do this. We need you to do that. Well, they're gone. You just want to do, well, you just want me to do much. Well, you said you wanted to do something. Anything I needed, just call me. I'm calling you. Don't see them again. Do y'all know I'm telling the truth? I talked to a guy the other day. I said, hey, I need to move you up in leadership. You need to do this, this, and this. Okay. And he did. He's in the process of doing it. You know, I mean, there's people. I mean, we were in a garage. We started the food pantry in a building that was 12, in a room that was 12 by 12. Now we're feeding over 600 families a month. You know how many people that is? I did the math. It's a lot. That's my math skill. 600, and then you got 3 or 4 in the family. That's a lot. How many is that, Greg?
A lot.
See, he's a banker. That's what he said. A lot. It's a lot. It's a bunch. Oh, we've got ministries that are just getting off the ground, like Simply Serve. That's not. They're not at the top of the vision that God has. Generation House is just getting off the ground. Did you know that the next step in Generation House, once we get that thing full and operating the way it's supposed to be, you know, and it's we've got some wonderful ladies in there now that I just love them both. And think of who that one is. Who's that one? I was trying to find her today during to give her a hug, and I couldn't catch her. She owe me a hug. See what I say? But the next step in that is to find people that are going to buy houses in Minden, and we're going to have permanent housing for them and their families. And then it's going to go nationwide. God doesn't give me small vision, because we've gotten so much further than most people that He's given vision to. They stop. They want their deficit. God, I want you to bring that down so I can get closer to it. Instead of, God, I'll do whatever it takes to get to the next step and the next step and the next step and the next step. That's the way vision works. And then you got the people that we're going to be a little bit late. I know that kind of bothers me a little bit. I'm in the second round of the playoffs in fantasy football. I'm playing Joel. I'm a tremendous underdog in this thing. But then again, it is fantasy football. But I can guarantee you one thing. A Gray will be in the finals. Stephen, you still in it? I know. Oh, goodness. But anyway, I'm going a little bit long. But what happens is, and man, don't shatter any names, all right? But you look back and you find people that can't get to the vision of God, and they're wanting God to bring down that, you know, and they think something's wrong with them, and they keep looking back. It may be they may have been abused as a child. They may have been through drug issues. They have a heartbreak, you know. They may have wanted to have children and having problems, or their marriage is falling by. And every time you see them, you know, they're in a good mood. And then the next time you see them, man, they're crying. I'm just not worth anything. I just can't do anything outright. I'm just blah, 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 blah. And I talk to the same people the over and over and over and over and over and over and over with. Why? They're not looking now, they're looking then. You've got to look now. Get out of the tent, Abram. Lift your eyes towards heaven. Don't look back. Look forward. Look forward. I'm going to have to hurry up. Go to Joel, the book of, not my son. Go to the book of Joel. I've got so much more in here, but I just don't have the time for it. Oh. The question is, how can I live with the discouragement of living in a deficit? The deficit of where I am, my reality, and where God wants me to be. How do I live? Because I can't get there immediately. There's a process. There's things that I have to go through. There's praise. There's a lot of praise. There's a lot of worship. There's a lot of prayer. There's a lot of fasting. There's a lot of doing. There's a lot of forward thinking before I can get to the next step. And then when I get there, you know, it's just a little step. It's the vision still too high for me to obtain right now. Let me tell you something. God's will is always progressive, and you're never going to reach everything that... August. Metal building. First meeting, everybody comes out with coffee cups. The next week they came out with those big things, the jugs of ice water. You know? World Outreach Center. We're going to change the world. We're going to reach the world. We're going to feed the hungry. We're going to do this. We're going to do that. God, would He shut up? Here. I did not give up on what God called this church to do, and I never will. We're moving up, but we've not attained. That's why Paul said, I have not achieved. I've not attained. Isn't that what he said? I've not attained. In other words, he was at the end of his rope, but he still said, I've not attained all that God had for me yet. I've not achieved all of it. And anyway, the biggest problem is, how can we live with the discouragement of living in a constant deficit? If you think about it, why did Jesus come for you? You're always going to be at a deficit. You didn't get what you deserved. You got grace. You got mercy. You got grace. You got blood of Jesus. Covered all your sin without any penalty to you. Do you really think that you deserved it? No, but God did. That's why He sent Jesus. The whole reason He sent you. All right. Anyway, but we can live with that. I can show you how. First of all, believe God. Believe that what He gave you, what He told you, the promises of God, the vision of God, believe that above anything else. Whether you've got your leg cut off and you may not be able to walk very good anymore, but you can still attain what God said because God said it. You can still attain the promises of God because He promised. You can still attain the vision that God has for you. It doesn't matter. No matter what loss, what damage, what hurt, what pain you went through, God's not going to give you something that He can't help you attain. Whew, am I helping? Oh, God, Lord knows I want to. Hold tight to the vision. Don't let it go. Never forget. I can tell you where I was sitting. I can tell you what time it was. My gosh. I was on a porch swing. I've got that porch swing in my garage just so I will never lose it. I don't have it on a porch, but I got the porch swing in my garage. That's where God unfolded everything to me. This is just crazy. All right, Joel 2:28. And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh, your sons and your daughters, for all of those religious people. shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. And it says, so what I'm trying to say here is this. Whatever you see, you have to say. Prophecy follows vision. Like I said when we first started, vision is the beginning. It's the intro. It's what gets it. God always starts with a vision. And then you have to believe that vision and you have to speak that thing into existence. I'm going to preach all over the world. Dude, last week I saw you smashed. You ain't going to do nothing. That was last week. But at 10:30 on Monday morning, my life changed. I'm not that guy anymore. I'm preaching to the world. Yeah, we'll see about that. Yeah, we will. I've been around the world 100 times, it seems, since then. I've preached to hundreds of thousands of people. Some 50, 60,000 at a time. Those people still think I'm smashed. You know why? They're looking back at the old Paul. Because they don't like what they see in the new Paul. Vision is seeing into the future. Prophesying is speaking into your future. You can't do anything by believing. It won't happen. I don't care if you believe Jesus is Lord all your life. Until you speak it, it don't happen. Romans 10:10. Hey, Mike. Romans 10:10 says, I got to put him and Allison, we got to split them up. For 10:10 it says, for with the heart one believes unto righteousness. That don't do any good until you follow it up. And with the mouth, the confession is made unto salvation. God does everything the same way. Every single time. You can believe it, but until you speak it, it's not going to happen. God can show you a vision. If you don't speak that vision, it's not going to happen. God can't make anything till you say it, because He never, everything that He created, He said, let there be. We've got to do it the same way that He showed us to do it. The exact same way. I've got to get out of here. My goodness. Oh. People will think you crazy. I already said that. They still do. That's not even different. I saw a guy, basketball game Friday night, and he saw the whole process. And he's a pastor. He's a friend of mine. He's a good acquaintance of mine. I don't call a lot of people friend, because, you know, if I call you my friend, if your wife dies, I believe that I'm supposed to. Or if you die, I'm supposed to help your wife for the rest of her life, because and to get back on her feet. I mean, that's what a friend does. I believe in covenant friends. I believe in. So I've got a lot of acquaintances that I love. But man, anyway, I know this guy. He's a pastor, and he knew me before, and he knew me. And he said, man, I'm gonna tell you something. He said, I thought you were crazy as you could possibly be when you first got saved. He said, you immediately started saying, I'm going to build a world outreach center. I'm going to preach all over the world. He said, and you did it. He said, I don't know many people like you. I said, well, all I did is believe God. And I spoke what He showed me. I said, you can't even get saved without speaking what he shows you. So that's just the way that we do things. We see, we have vision, and we move forward. And he said the best. Now this, I can't tell you who this guy is, but if I told you, you'd go wow. But he said the best thing that ever happened to you is when you left the denomination and started a church. He said you've gotten more done in the last 15, 20 years than all of those churches combined. I said, we're just getting started. We're just getting started. And he said, you know what? Now I believe you. Oh. We're still in the depths of the vision, but we're getting there fast. We're getting there fast. And when we get close to it, God's going to show us another one. We're always going to be at a deficit. So don't get discouraged. Don't get discouraged. Just when God advances a vision, thank God that He still believes in you enough to get things done.
Amen.
That He's showing you, that He's showing you vision where He believes in you. I know you can do this. You've achieved what I've told you to do. Now I want to give you something that's just crazier. Because I know that you'll get it done. Okay, I'm going to stop. Today you may be visionless. You may not have any vision. Maybe you need to help get vision in your life. So you can say, you need vision for your family. You need vision for your future. You need a vision for your relationships. You need vision. You've got to have vision in your life, or you're not going to do anything. You're going to be like a religious person that just does the same thing over and over again and expects a different result. You know, that's the same definition for insanity. But, boy, that's not going to go big on Facebook, is it? Or you may be struggling with looking back and not looking up. That's a big problem. You're dealing with low self-esteem. You just don't think that you're worthy. You just don't think you can do anything. And, man, there was so much bad stuff happened to me. I want to pray for you. I want to talk to you. Some of you I've talked to before, but that don't mean I'm giving up. Some of you may not be handling the deficit right now very well. I know I did for a while, man. I mean, church went way up. Boy, we were doing great. And went, God, I got close. I was getting close. And now I'm back down here. What do I do now? You stay with the vision. You know, there's so many things that we need help with. We need prayer for. We need things. We need help. We're here to help. We're not here. We're not religious. We're relational. We want to get in partnership with you, and we want to help you achieve all that God has for you to achieve. I'm here to help you. We're all here to help each other to attain all that God has for you. Amen. Stand to your feet. If you're struggling with anything, but especially in the area of vision and deficit and looking back and not looking now and looking up, I want to pray for you. I'm gonna since it's late, I'm gonna just dismiss, and we're gonna pray and dismiss, and then I'm gonna be ready for prayer. I mean, if anybody needs it, come on down. I'll pray for every single one of you. I don't care how long it takes. It ain't gonna take me 4 or 5 hours to beat Joel anyway. Anyway, let's pray. Father, we come.